I recorded that interview with Kirby Eichen of GIO Reinsurance about 3 weeks ago. I expressed the hope that there would be no untoward events which might result in a claim against the space insurance industry. Unfortunately, it appears that that hope may be destroyed. On April the 5th, a European Ariane space rocket blasted off from the Kourou Space Centre, French Guiana. On board was the Canadian communications satellite, ANIC-E2. All went well, with the satellite successfully reaching its required orbit some 36,000 kilometres above the equatorial South America. But then things began to go wrong. The satellite weighs 3 tonnes. I have on the line Martin Kirkby of the Australian Space Insurance Group. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, Andrew.
Well, Martin, what happened to ANIC-E2?
Well, as you know, the launch was entirely successful on the Ariane. It was the Launch 43, and that was on the 4th of April. And then we were advised last week that there were problems with the deployment of its main communications antennae. Now, we don't have a great deal of information at the moment, but we, of course, this is a very serious problem if they can't manage to unfold it totally. And so we're waiting for more news. We have been told that they have been partially successful in extending it, and we're going to wait till next week to see if they can, if this actually happens. It is, as you know, a very large sum insured of $280 million, of which we have a small percentage, and therefore it's a critical risk for the space insurance industry as a whole.
The $218 million insurance covers what?
Well, that's the sum insured, the agreed sum insured for the satellite. It's probably more than its true value, in fact, because they tend to want to cover sort of all aspects of the satellite and other expenses as well. So, but it is one of the largest values that has ever been insured.
I see. What was the next largest insurance loss that's been made in the industry?
Well, only recently, a month ago, the space insurance market paid out $170 million US on Superbird A satellite, which was an in-orbit failure. This satellite lost most of its oxidizer and fuel and had to be deorbited just after Christmas. Now, that was the largest single loss so far on a satellite. And as I say, it's only been paid within the last month. And if we had another loss of, even considerably more in this case, then it would be very bad news for the market worldwide.
How long had Superbird A been in operation before it failed?
I think it went up in mid-1989. So not very long. In fact, the initial insurance for it was launch plus 12 months, and then they introduced an in-orbit policy, which began, I think, in June last year. And on in-orbit policies, they normally decrease month by month in value, and at the time of the loss, it was $170 million. So... That was by far the largest amount that had ever been paid out on a single satellite.
So this Japanese satellite had been operating for, best part of half a year before it failed?
Well, about 18 months.
About 18 months.
Yeah.
And this current satellite we're now talking about, ANIC-E2, hasn't yet been put into operation, has it?
No, not at all. I mean, it was only launched on the 4th of April, so it was undergoing... It wasn't even undergoing tests because its main antenna, as we know, haven't been fully extended yet, or at least we're not aware that they have. So we're just waiting to see. If it was a total failure, total loss, then it would just remain up there. There's nothing anybody can do to recover it in a geostationary orbit, which is, as you know, 36,000 miles out, kilometres out, I should say.
Yes, in our previous interview, we talked about a satellite which had failed and was going to be recovered from the shuttle. Obviously, this can't be done, can it, with this one?
No. geostationary satellites are far beyond the current range of the shuttle, which is a low Earth orbit of 200 kilometres or thereabouts. The satellites which have been recovered from the by the shuttle in the past have been ones which haven't reached their full geostationary height and therefore been within range of the shuttle, which is not the case in Franek 2. So there's no question of using the shuttle on this one. It's either the Earth stations manage to extend the antennae by whatever means they have available, or if they can't do that, then there's nothing really to be done. And it would be a total loss, of course.
Well, thank you for joining us today on the Space Show. Thank you, Martin.
You're very welcome, Andrew. Goodbye.
Bye.